So I interviewed and I got a job at National Institutes of Health and the Cancer Institute. In what was called, so then I was converted. I had been at the Bureau, I had been called physical scientist. Once I went to the, you know, as I say, to the mechanical instrument section, I was called physical scientist, and then, you know, I didn't mind the change. I came to the NIH, they made me a biophysicist. So that's my title, okay? And the laboratory that I was in was called, I guess it was called Biophysics Laboratory. The director was a chap whose interests, Egon Lorenz was his name.
He was Egon?
Egon Lorenz, L-O-R-E-N-Z, I guess. He had been involved in the development of radioactive materials for medicine in some way or other. But I had nothing to do with that as such. Since I had a background in pH, we worked on the measurement, the measurement of pH under different circumstances in experimental animals, mostly rats. And so for quite a while I worked, we developed glass electrodes, very fine glass electrodes, which we could, you know, you have to sort of slit the skin of the rat, and then you can sort of, you can stick the electrode in. And there are various places, mostly in muscle. And it turns out that if you eject the perineum of the rat with a large amount of glucose, that you can almost instantaneously, by that I mean, you know, within 30 seconds, you will get a significant drop in the pH of muscle. So here you have the electrode sticking into the muscle, and the glucose does something. I think we understood why, but I've forgotten now. And so I worked on that a while. There was a mass spectrometer in that laboratory. I worked on that. What we were working on a variety of things. Again, the biological relevance was that if you fed a rat a high-fat diet, which they would eat, then they would develop acetone in their breathing, in their respiration, which you could measure then in the mass spectrometer. So you could do the dynamics of how long it took and things like that. So that gave me, I was back both into pH and into mass spectrometry. One of the little things we did was we were able to, we developed a technique for measuring the molecular weight of compounds, intact molecules. Now, the way a mass spectrometer works, as you probably know, I don't know what you know and what you don't know, is that it ionizes and breaks up the molecule into little pieces. Well, what we discovered is that the concentrations are so low in the mass spectrometer that the particles, whether they're ionized or unionized, are basically perfect gases. So they obey the perfect gas laws. So that if you met, and the orifice for
studies of gas phase mass spectrometry, the orifice is a little pinhole. Okay.
Now it's easy, you know, again, physical chemistry has a proof that for perfect gas, the velocity, or the rate of diffusion through a pinhole goes as the square root of the molecular weight, or the mass number, or whatever you want to use. And that's true of ionized particles or unionized particles. So ionized particles, all you do is you measure the peak of a particular a particular peak in the mass spectrum. You don't have to look at the whole mass spectrum. You just look at the peak and how it decays as a function of time. And the slope of that, this is the log, semi-log plot of that, and the slope will then tell you what the square root of the molecular weight is. And it works very, very well. Well, it has some particular advantage, and it did make the annual, you know, review of mass spectrometry. We use it, for example, to measure the surface, the area of a surface in the manifold that we had of a hydroxyl molecule, hydroxyl radical, because the hydroxyls will stick to the glass. No, I got it backwards. No, it's not hydroxyl. It's the proton. It's a proton or the deuteron. We use both. Now, if you go through the same procedure again, what you find is as the surface becomes covered with protons, this curve that I'm calculating no longer is semi-log plot. This one goes over, and then
it's asymptotic
then to zero, and you can then estimate how many molecules you permit through, and the number then can be correlated to the surface area of the manifold, and it agreed with what the physicists had discovered by using other methods. So that was kind of nice, and